tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
All right, welcome back, folks. Second hour of American Journal is on continuing coverage of the Trump assassination attempt. So much to say about this. And look, the guy glows in the dark. The guy is clearly intelligence adjacent, if not actively under the command of the CIA or the State Department or some other nefarious governmental force. He was obviously obsessed with Ukraine. He donated over 20 times to Democrats since at least just 2019. Fox News reported at one point that he voted for Trump in 2016. As far as I know, that's been debunked, and the vote records have shown that he did no such thing. He was a Bernie Sanders voter in 2020. He's another leftist, Democratic, violent extremist, a radical Democrat. And of course, they can't admit that, and they have to, the mainstream media has to attempt to portray this as a reasonable response from the inflamed rhetoric from the Trump campaign, which is just another one of these things, like so much of what they do. It's not just wrong. It's a total inversion. The Republicans never call for violence, never call for vigilantism. The outrage that is spawned from the things Republicans say is because the things we talk about are real and horrible. So when we show you the evidence, the statements, the affidavits, the eyewitness reports of things like Haitians stealing ducks from the park to eat them, you're not going to find ever a single clip of Republicans saying, and we need to go away. If they're killing our ducks, we need to kill them. Like, no, it just never happens. And what will happen is a Democrat will take what I just said, chop out any context whatsoever, and go, look, he just said they're killing ducks, we need to kill them, even though, like, obviously none of this is valid at all. It's just, it's not just a, they do it and we do it, we get blamed, they don't. We don't do this, they do. And if you ask them what the hell they're talking about, when they're talking about violent ultra-MAGA extremists, the only thing they can even point to is January 6th, in which the only people killed were right-wingers murdered by the Capitol Police. So we're at war. We're at war with the deep state. We're at war with these insane warmongers who are at this moment desperately trying to find some diplomatic workaround so that they can start World War III with a nuclear-armed Russia. This guy is a radical, radicalized by the language of the Democrats that he himself repeated in his posts before the assassination, saying Trump is a threat to democracy, quoting Kamala Harris and Joe Biden to justify his actions. We'll break down exactly who this guy was, including all of the archived social media that has since been scrubbed and deleted. And again, I want to call on Trump and his campaign to take this deadly seriously and put pressure on the leftist media to tone down their rhetoric, place the blame squarely at their feet where it belongs. You can't just scoff at this. This isn't just, oops, missed me again. They're going to try again and again and again. People that are celebrating this be held to account one way or another.
Turmeric has been used as a medicine for thousands of years to treat digestive disorders, respiratory problems, arthritis, and depression. It has strong anti-cancer, anti-diabetic, antimicrobial, and antioxidant properties, and is one of the most effective anti-inflammatory medications available. The Powerful Bodies formula at InfoWarsStore.com includes 95% curcuminoids, Boswellia serrata extract, organic sage leaf, organic lemon balm leaf, organic thyme leaf, and piperine from black pepper. Bodies is arguably the best turmeric formula available. Get it now. Support free speech and support the InfoWar at InfoWarsStore.com.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, folks. Questions still swirl around this assassination attempt, although more and more are getting answered as the hours tick by. I've got some speculation about this as well, some of the answers. Some of the answers to the questions, like, how did he know where to hide and wait? How did Secret Service not discover or detect him until after he was in place to fire? He was only 300 to 500 yards away, which is not very far for a skilled assassin. Whether this guy was skilled or not, we don't know. But we do know that he was in Ukraine. We do know that he traveled to fight in Ukraine and was trained by the CIA there, who's in charge of all of the training of the Ukrainian forces. We know this guy was a democratic radical. You know that he was a follower of Kamala Harris and Joe Biden. Pictures of his home in Hawaii show a truck with a Biden-Harris sticker on the back. And one of the most outrageous things following this assassination attempt was the excuse by the Secret Service as to why security continues to be so lax for Donald Trump, a former president and the most likely future president who was shot in the face 2 months ago, who, according to the powers that be, is under extreme threat of assassination from countries like Iran. And yet they continue to short-staff his security from Secret Service or anybody else. Now, apparently this round of golf was not on any public schedule, which is really making people wonder how this guy had this inside information, how he knew exactly where to go at exactly the right time. Here's clip number 20. This is, again, from the press conference yesterday. Officials on why Trump did not have Secret Service protection surrounding the golf course.
How was this able to happen? And for future reference, is there any obscurity of the golf course?
Well, you got to understand, the golf course is surrounded by shrubbery. So when somebody gets into the shrubbery,
they're
pretty much out of sight.
Oh, okay. Well, if they're shrubbery, then never mind.
At this level that he is at right now, he's not the sitting president. If he was, we would have had this entire golf course around it. Well, because he's not, the security is limited to the areas that the Secret Service deems possible. So I would imagine that the next time he comes at a golf course, there'll probably be a little bit more people around the perimeter.
Yeah, next time maybe we'll do some protection. But you have to understand, this time there was shrubbery, there were shrubs. I mean, you expect us to stop an assassin when there's, like, just shrubs everywhere? This is insane. That's the Secret Service going, yeah, well, he's not a sitting president, so I guess it doesn't matter. I guess the security you're afforded by the Secret Service isn't actually dependent on the threat that you're under. It's dependent on the importance that you are. Well, he's not a sitting president, so you know, we protect them about half the time. We protect them anytime, you know, shrubs aren't in the equation. Other than that, yeah, we got him. But, you know, if he's in a place that's got plants, I mean, what are we supposed to do? There are plants. Yeah, wild, wild that he would make that statement. Donald Trump is the former president. He is clearly going to be the next president. He is clearly the most targeted political persona in American history, maybe. His protection should be commensurate with the threat that he faces, not his importance to the authorities. Obviously, people are calling on Trump, as they did after the first assassination attempt, to have his own private militia, basically, to hire Eric Prince and Blackwater or some other mercenary group to fulfill the role of securing Donald Trump in a way that Secret Service is either unwilling or unable to do. Now, I think that's a good idea. I've been advocating for a long time for Trump to spearhead the effort himself. And at this point, it might be too late, but if I was Donald Trump, I've talked about this many times, I would ramp up my touring schedule. I would hold a rally every day from now until the election. And at every rally, I would have somebody like Eric Prince there. And I would recruit everybody at that rally. When he goes to a rally somewhere, every major Trump supporter from 100 miles around shows up at that rally. To me, the obvious thing to do is to categorize them all by something like zip code. Have that zip code worth of people vote on somebody to be in a leadership position. And create independent, lawful, Second Amendment abiding militias everywhere he goes. And do a tour, go to all 50 states, and in every 50 state, establish a volunteer neighborhood watch in every zip code. You're telling me that there aren't at least 100 good old boys, frat boys, hunters around this property in Florida that wouldn't jump at the opportunity to, like, hey, go park your truck on that corner, have three or four other dudes with you, lawfully carry your firearms, and just hang out. Trump's going to be in there golfing. We need a truck on that corner. We need a truck on that corner. We need a truck on that corner. Just to watch. Just to make sure that some creepy little Ukrainian leftist dweeb doesn't sneak in through the bushes and shoot Donald Trump. Obviously, the powers that be wouldn't be totally in favor of that particular plan of action. But if it and it's not the type of thing that can or even should be done in a piecemeal sort of unprofessional fashion. It has to be coordinated. It has to have leadership. It has to be done in a very safe way, or else you can go wrong. But the American people and the Trump supporters were like sick to the stomach of having just sit here and watch this happen. When you sit here and watch the mainstream media and the Democrat tyrant, totalitarian, despot jackasses demonize us, call us domestic terrorists, call us extremists. Well, the only people that have been subject to political violence in the past 10 years have been dozens of Trump supporters killed or seriously injured by radical leftists, abortion clinics burned down by the hundreds, churches subjected to arson, we are the continual victims of this violence, only to turn on TV and see the media gaslighting the American people into saying the violence that we're facing, it's because of our rhetoric. Because we actually talk about the issues that are going on in a desperate and at this point seemingly futile attempt to get the system itself to correct the obvious glaring issues with every single aspect of its policy. Everybody who's honest gets this. Everybody who is informed understands this, which again adds to the frustration. You've got these people who are crying crocodile tears at the rhetoric of Donald Trump, just going, hey, there's people in Ohio reporting that their pets are being eaten. And this is like, oh my God, do you disavow the bomb threats? It's just like, what the hell are you talking about? This is just actually happening. It's just the actual consequence of your actual policy. It's deliberate. It's just really just one symptom of a massive illness that is tearing our country apart from the inside. 20,000 Haitians going to a 60,000 person town. I mean, it's just, let's go to clip number 8 here. This is former FBI agent Tim Clemente pointing the finger where it belongs at the mainstream media for their deliberate deception, gaslighting the American people, taking things out of context on purpose, knowingly, not because they just got it wrong, not because they heard something and were shocked and reported that, and then later it turned out not to be true. Things like the bloodbath comment that you cannot hear without understanding the context, understanding that it was a totally benign, normal, unthreatening statement. They deliberately take it out of context, deliberately misframe it as a call to violence. And in that way, they themselves are contributing to the atmosphere of heightened tension and political violence in this country. And again, it just feels stupid to even say this because everybody knows it. Everybody knows this is the case. Let's go to clip number 8 now.
When the first one happened, I think the entire country was in complete shock. And then today there'll be more numbness by people. But can you just put into context what it is like to see something like this? This is, just to state the obvious, this has never happened before. It is unprecedented.
You know, Aaron, it's unprecedented in a civilized society. And I think we're becoming more and more uncivilized, sadly, with the political diatribes that are going on and the political indictments of either candidate. And sadly, the finger pointing at Trump has led to, you know, the line about the blood bath, talking about the auto industry being used as if he's going to create a bloody coup if he loses. That kind of verbiage is something you use in a third world country when you're talking about a dictator. And that, sadly, has led to, I think, these attempts on Trump's life. And I don't think it's going to end. And I think we just have to realize, look, we're political opponents. You and I might not agree on 50% of what we care about politically. It doesn't matter. It doesn't mean we can't be friends, neighbors, relatives, and have a regular dialogue every day. And we have to get back to that. Talk about our differences, but not in a way that makes us feel like you're the enemy and I'm all good.
All right. Well, Tim, thank you very much. I'm glad to speak to you tonight. Thank you. And
so, yeah, former president, former FBI agent to CNN, verbiage about Trump being a dictator led to attempts on his life. At the very least, look, like I said, I can show you a compilation, 2.5 minutes, Democrats explicitly calling for political violence. But that dates back all the way to like 2016. Like, it's a continuous thing. I can also show you 2 clips from yesterday of 2 different Democrat politicians calling Trump a Nazi dictator, saying that democracy is at threat. And if he wins, you know, democracy's over and Vladimir Putin will take over all of Europe. Obviously, this language inflames the radicals and extremists. While simultaneously, the FBI is doing everything it can to intimidate, imprison, and disrupt the perfectly legal, perfectly nonviolent political activity of Trump's supporters. How many videos have we showed you over the last 6 months of FBI agents knocking on the door of people in places like Oklahoma because of something they posted on Facebook? Or should I have just gunning somebody down because they'd made a passing reference to Joe Biden on Facebook, even though they were, you know, handicapped and totally incapable of fulfilling any threats they were to make? It doesn't matter. SWAT team is going to kick your door down, shoot you in the face. Or the FBI attachés are going to come knock on your door and try to intimidate you out of speaking out against the tyrannical direction this country's headed. Have they gone after any of the leftist radicals? Have they even investigated the sophisticated networks of Antifa and Black Lives Matter and Venezuelan gangs and Chinese stay-behind networks? I mean, if it's not clear that this is on purpose, and if it's not clear at this point that what they're doing to Trump is just a preview of what they will systematically subject the entire American populace to, I don't know what to tell you. It should be obvious by now. Miranda Devine on New York Post wrote this article: reckless rhetoric from Dems and media to blame for second assassination attempt. Even calling it reckless, it's not reckless. It's deliberate. They're deliberate lies about what's being said in order to justify their extremist views. It's beyond hypocrisy. It's beyond projection. It's beyond being wrong. It's beyond just like unfairness or inequality. All Republicans do is talk about the problems that we're facing and try to advocate for political solutions to this. We don't want violence. If there was violence, we would kill everybody. But we're responsible people, and we actually believe in our system, and we actually want America to survive, and we actually love our fellow Americans, even the ones who disagree with us. They don't, though. They don't. And they're not shy about their hateful and deceptive rhetoric. Last week, Kamala Harris falsely accused Trump of calling Nazis fine people, promising a bloodbath and being responsible for the worst attack on our democracy since the Civil War. You know, the gigantic million-person, totally peaceful rally at the Capitol that only became violent when the Capitol Police randomly and without cause started firing rubber bullets and tear gas into the assembled crowd. The event in which five people died, all of them Trump supporters, beaten to death, shot in the chest, or otherwise murdered by the authorities. Even last week, I mean, all of these things are not, I mean, it's not like they've been debunked. It's like they were never true in the first place. They're never even remotely accurate. I'm not going to waste time going through and showing you the clip of Donald Trump saying, "I totally disavow the Nazis. The Nazis are evil. They may have been some of there in Charlottesville, but they suck and should be totally disavowed." But there were people there that just wanted to protect this statue, and they were fine people. I shouldn't need to tell you the sky is blue. I shouldn't need to explain this, but they just keep lying. Kamala and Joe Biden and their surrogates constantly exaggerate the January 6th Capitol riot and use it to frame Trump as a threat to democracy. Biden has labeled Trump and MAGA Republicans as semi-fascist and domestic terrorist. Tim Walz called Trump a fascist and a threat to democracy who will put people's lives in danger. On Saturday, Senator Chris Murphy described Trump as a candidate inexplicably running on the promise of political violence. In Orwellian fashion, they accused Trump and his supporters of stoking violence when the evidence is almost all the other way. Conveniently, whenever Democrats feel the heat of a damaging issue, there are always bomb threats or phony-looking racist leaflets to distract the media and get maximum publicity. They talk about Springfield, Ohio, where Trump's "They're Eating the Pets" riff and 1,000 memes focused attention on the plights of locals overwhelmed by 30% increase in their population due to 1,000 Haitians ushered in by border czar Harrison Biden. Having ignored the border crisis for 3 years, the media are now demonizing long-suffering Springfield citizens and portraying anyone who highlights their plight as a violent bigot, as we just saw some of the videos show. But MSNBC did this directly. Let's go now to clip number two. After the second assassination attempt on Donald Trump, they're quick to bring up January 6th. Yes, the 2-hour unapproved tour through the Capitol, in which the only deadly violence committed was by the Capitol Police on peaceful, unarmed Trump supporters. Let's watch.
And I don't think that it could be understated the gravity of this here. We're talking about two attempted assassination attempts. We know from our conversations with people, voters, Americans on the ground, that there are fears of violence, further violence in the country. And where is the United States heading here? We have heard talk of potential civil war. We have watched January 6th unfold and the willingness of thousands of individuals to go and attack police officers. We have watched members of Congress be shot at. We have watched now a former president of the United States, apparently two attempted assassinations. And it is a cause for alarm and concern. We saw in the immediate aftermath of the Butler, Pennsylvania attack, Donald Trump went to the Republican National Convention. And I think at least his tenor was more solemn, a little bit more retrospective. That quickly changed. You could say that more so than ever, the rhetoric, the divisiveness of our politics today is intense. Yeah. And in no way would anybody, I think, stand by any actions that are being taken. And for the Trump campaign, I think it's important to, on the human side of this, that you have campaign staffers who are now involved in two incidents here. You have Secret Service agents who are there putting their lives on the line, protecting him. These are a detail that follow around Donald Trump around the country. He was just on a West Coast swing. I was with him out there at these campaign rallies.
You know, it'd be one thing if Trump used the type of rhetoric that these people used. And then maybe you could entertain a hypothetical of saying, well, you know, if Trump did tone down his rhetoric, would that really help? But we're lucky here in this timeline because we don't have to speculate in hypotheticals. We can tell you, in no uncertain terms, not only is Trump's rhetoric never been inflammatory to the point of calling for violence or identifying individuals who, you know, Trump says this person is a existential threat to you. He's trying to genocide you and go after him. But after the assassination attempt, of course, the rhetoric that already wasn't calling for violence and wasn't over the top in any way, which is why they have to take things out of context. And that's the other thing about the terms like the bloodbath comment or the very fine people on both sides. You understand, it's like when you find a white person committed a crime against a black person, and they make it like it's a giant deal, and then turns out never to have existed, like Jasmine Barnes, who they, you know, a shooting of a little black girl they blamed on a white guy, never ended up happening, but, you know, was in the headlines for like weeks until they figured out who actually did it. And it's because if Trump actually said violent rhetoric, there would be infinite examples of it. The only examples they have are blatant falsehoods. So what does that lead you to? What conclusion does that make inevitable? Well, Trump's not expressing violent rhetoric. So I don't need to entertain the hypothetical like, well, if he does tone down his rhetoric, will they really stop? His rhetoric's not violent and they're trying to kill him. He tones it down even further, tries even harder to bring about unity and calm, and they try to shoot him again. So should we just keep backing down? So the nonviolent rhetoric should get less violent. He'll stop trying to kill us? That's what you're saying?
I do believe that we have a trifecta pandemic going on. We have monkeypox, of course, that they say it's coming. We have COVID, like the flirt virus of COVID right now. It's everywhere. People are calling me. People are getting sick. COVID, flu, bird flu, and all these other ones that they are talking about, those are RNA viruses. And because they are RNA viruses, they are sensitive to zinc. So zinc needs quercetin to enter the cell. I can't believe that in 2024, you're still in a position where you can get a serious disease from COVID, end up with COVID lung symptoms, and possibly die. So please, just listen to me. Go on drstellamd.com, do a telemedicine appointment, get hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin in your medicine cabinet today. And of course, if you go on our website, if you use promo code Alex, you're going to get a discount. People call me to get them out of the hospital. And once you're in the hospital, we cannot help you. And also, with the hydroxychloroquine too, you can also get the zinc and quercetin. So my advice for people right now, for a family, if you want to like build defense for your family, is to get Covivites, to get the Pox defense, and if you have children, get the Immunovites for children, because it has zinc, it has elderberry. So this is what we're calling right now the trifecta family pack. So you get the immune defense for your family, you get defense against pox, you get defense against, build your immunity against COVID, against bird flu and dengue and all these other RNA viruses. So my advice, please listen to me. Go on our website, drstellamd.com. And of course, if you go on our website, if you use promo code Alex, you're going to get a discount. We have physicians licensed in, we have physicians that can prescribe in all 50 states, and we have pharmacies that will ship to all 50 states. So please, before something gets really crazy, get hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin in your medicine cabinet today. And of course, if you go on our website, if you use promo code Alex, you're going to get a discount. For monkeypox, bird flu, like I call the trifecta, pox, bird flu, and COVID. If you get pox defense and Covivites, that should help you. We have it on our website. If you also get, for you know, some people take Covilite. Covilite is like our bestseller. I love it. I take it every day. If you get Covilite and pox defense, these two should be able to cover all the viruses. If you're taking Covivites, this is all you need. If you're the person that takes Covilite, you just need Covilite and this. This should be able to cover because it has quercetin, it has zinc, it has vitamin D. You have everything that you need to build your immunity. That is my cry. Don't wait till you get sick. We have a slew of other vitamins and everything on our website. We have medicinal herbs that can help deal with all kinds of stuff. So my job right now to the American people is to make sure that you're prepared, you're medically prepared. I've been saying it for a while that we're going to have a disruptive event, and it's coming. If you notice, these globalists, they want their agenda 2030. It's on track, or in their mind, it's on track. They want by 2025 for all of us to be digitalized. I said it from the beginning in 2020 that COVID was a Trojan horse for the vaccine. And the vaccine is Trojan horse. It's a Trojan horse for transhumanism, population control, genetic modification. I've said that over and over. And I think that right now in 2024, patriots, listen to me. Everybody should be aware of this. Like I said, if you can get quercetin, if you can get hydroxychloroquine, if you can get ivermectin from your doctor or from wherever, I am pretty much good with it. We put this together to help you, but I just want you to get it. Get it in your head that we are at a time when they want to destroy humanity. And because they're going to try to destroy humanity, we have to be prepared. Only those that are paranoid, that are prepared, would survive. So that is my pledge, and that is what we do. Your pledge is to make sure that you prepare you and your family. And of course, if you go on our website, if you use promo code Alex, you're going to get a discount.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
Welcome back. We may, in fact, be joined by Elle from Some Bitch I Know at in the third hour of today's show. She breaks down the archives of the wannabe assassin's social media that has now been scrubbed completely. But we know a lot about this guy, and we're learning more. Let's go through who this guy is. Actually was Ryan Wesley Routh, the suspected gunman involved in an apparent assassination attempt on former President Donald Trump at the Trump International Golf Club in Florida on Sunday, was charged with possession of weapons of mass destruction over 20 years ago. According to court records in the Guilford District Court in North Carolina obtained by Wired, Routh was arrested in Greensboro by the Greensboro Police Department on December 16th, 2002. Local reporting from Greensboro News and record in 2002 states that Routh was pulled over by police during a traffic stop. He then drove to the business United Roofing, where he proceeded to barricade himself for 3 hours, the police said at the time. Folk said that he was well known in the area and that police would get alerts about him allegedly related to, as she remembers, weapons and explosives. He was charged with possession of a fully automatic machine gun, referred to in court filings as a weapon of mass destruction. He was also charged with carrying a concealed weapon, as well as driving without a valid license and resisting, delaying, or obstructing law enforcement, according to Greensboro News and Record. if Trump's would-be assassin, this is asked by Gateway Pundit, I should say, is Trump's would-be assassin Ryan Routh an associate of MSNBC terrorism analyst Malcolm Nance with Ukrainian ties mentioned in New York Times article? A New York Times report was discovered on Sunday mentioning Ryan Wesley Routh, 58, who was caught targeting Trump, aimed with a scoped AK-47 rifle in West Palm Beach before shots were fired by the Secret Service. The New York Times was actually in contact with and interviewed Routh for their article. In an oddly coincidental Truth Social post just hours before the attempted shooting, Trump said the failing New York Times is the true threat to democracy. The article from the Times ties the would-be shooter to nutbag MSNBC terrorist analyst Malcolm Nance, who once called for ISIS to bomb the Trump Tower in Istanbul. In 2022, when war broke out in Ukraine, Nance traveled to Ukraine and claimed he joined the fighting against Russia. The New York Times editorial, titled Stolen Valor, the U.S. Volunteers in Ukraine Who Lie, Waste, and Bicker, references the International Legion created by Ukraine for allied foreign fighters to join the war effort, which both Routh and Nance were a part of. Routh is mentioned twice in the article. He alleges that he had planned to move recruits for the war effort into Ukraine illegally from Poland. The excerpts from the New York Times says this: with the Legion growth stalling, Ryan Routh, a former construction worker from Greensboro, North Carolina, is seeking recruits from among Afghan soldiers who fled the Taliban. Mr. Routh, who spent several months in Ukraine last year, said he planned to move them, in some cases illegally, from Pakistan and Iran to Ukraine. He said dozens had expressed interest. Quote, we can probably purchase some passports through Pakistan since it's such a corrupt country, he said in an interview from Washington. It's not clear whether he had succeeded, but one former Afghan soldier he had been contacted, who said he had been contacted and was interested in fighting if it meant leaving Iran, where he was living illegally. Nance was mentioned 12 times in the article and reportedly used his intelligence background to relay information to Ukrainian counterintelligence. Yeah, birds of a feather. So this guy was, again, like a Ukrainian extremist who, it seems like, you know, if he wasn't doing this with official authority and official direction, he was at least doing it with official permission. I mean, do you think you could go out and start advocating in the New York Times for falsifying passport records to move mercenaries across national boundaries and just get away with it without, you know, having internal help from the CIA or State Department? I don't think so. People in the know, people with this type of knowledge, agree with me. Oswald vibes here. Snowden says White House may not have clean hands in the second Trump assassination attempt. The Biden White House may not have clean hands when it comes to the second assassination attempt of former President Donald Trump in light of the alleged shooter's past activities and government connections, according to former NSA whistleblower Edward Snowden. We know very little, but so far, but with alleged Trump shooter's personal and public participation in military activity in Ukraine, it's hard to imagine this White House's agency can claim zero contact, clean hands. Something of an Oswald vibe here. Congress should get answers, Snowden wrote on X Sunday. The alleged shooter, identified as 58-year-old Ryan Routh, was reportedly a mercenary trying to recruit fighters to send to Ukraine frontline on behalf of the Ukrainian government. The gunman's son has spoken out in a way that, you know, should really get him investigated by the authorities. From Infowars.com, he's, quote, not a violent person, but he hates Trump. Gunman's son speaks out. Quote, I know my dad and love my dad, but there's nothing like him, said Ryan Routh's son. Orin Routh added that his father hates Trump, quote, like every reasonable person does. Yeah, you know, the reasonable people who hate somebody they've never met. The reasonable people whose lives are filled with vindictive, poisonous, hateful feelings towards Donald Trump because he says mean things on X, I guess. No, no reasonable person hates Trump. But this is how warped these people are. If it's reasonable to hate Trump, isn't it reasonable to try to kill him? Is this not a very troubling thing for somebody to say in public about an assassin who tried to kill Donald Trump? My God. Later, after his initial phone call, Orrin Routh sent a series of text messages to the Mail in which he appeared to justify his father's actions. I hate this game every 4 years and think that all we do, and if my father wants to be a martyr to how broken and disassociated the process has become from the real problems and practical solutions, then that's his choice. Says the person who says every reasonable person hates Donald Trump. I'm not saying that's what he's done or what he's about. It's just my own rant about being fed up with it all for my entire adult life. South Park said it best. Every 4 years, we're forced to choose between a turd sandwich and a giant douche. And it says, and it's all stays effed in the same way by different degrees. And we're exhausted and embarrassed by it all. Oh, yes. A reasonable, thoughtful, typical American leftist who cannot see the world without it being framed by cartoons, who cannot imagine a world in which their vile hatred is actually the issue here, which they think they're justified in their extremist views, because they're the same extremist views pushed by everybody that they hate. Oh, this whole system's corrupt. That's why I believe everything the system says. Yeah, I hate this false dichotomy between the turd sandwich and the giant douche that we're forced to choose from. It's this two-party system. It keeps us locked in a never actually getting to any solutions. That's why I fully believe everything that both of the sides say against Donald Trump. Absolute morons. Would-be assassin made string of donations to Democrats since 2019. Another story from Infowars.com. Between September 2019 and March 2020, Routh made 19 contributions via Democratic fundraising platform Act Blue. In his social media post, Routh claimed to have supported Trump in 2016, only to become disillusioned with him, which was, I'll let you know, a lie. He did not vote for Donald Trump in 2016. There is no proof of that. What there is page upon page of schizophrenic rambling from this leftist extremist psychopath. Between September 2019 and March 2020, Routh made 19 contributions via Democrat fundraising platform Act Blue. The money was earmarked for candidates including Beto O'Rourke, Andrew Yang, Tom Steyer, and Elizabeth Warren. He also donated to Tulsi Gabbard. Ryan Routh was profiled in 23 by the New York Times for his role in the Ukraine war. Ryan Wesley Routh's shocked neighbors claim everyone was afraid of him before Trump golf course assassination attempt. Neighbors of the man accused of attempting to assassinate Donald Trump at his Florida golf course described him as a little cuckoo and claimed he left everyone on the street terrified. But it's okay. He was a leftist. He was a loving leftist that was saving us all from the dictator Donald Trump. It was really like he was killing Hitler. He's kind of a hero, actually. On the other side, stay with us.
I got a great way for you to keep InfoWars on the air, and regardless what happens, InfoWars keep me on the air, and that's the alexjonesstore.com, a new key URL for you to mark down. I've teamed up with the folks that make a lot of the top-selling Trump shirts in the country. They've got the best t-shirt designers, Bigly. If you go to thealexjonesstore.com, that's separate from InfoWars, that's key to support into the future, whatever happens here. 30 plus amazing new t-shirt designs, new ones being added every day. They're incredible. Trump shirts, you name it, thealexjonesstore.com. And every time you buy a shirt or 30 plus different great designs of Patriot ball caps, you get entered 5 or 10 times, depending on the day. It's different every day, into the raffle to get $10,000 cash. Halloween's when the prize is announced, the winner, and a $138,000 turbo diesel super deluxe off-road upgraded, the best truck you can get, over the top turbo diesel engine, AEV standard features, and then it's all upgraded. I tried to go over, take an hour, the best tires, the best shocks, the best systems. It's a 2024 Ram Prospector AEV Dodge turbo diesel, army green, black with red pinstripe, ready for you. When you buy something, you entered 5 or 10 times, depending on what promo they're running that day, in the raffle. All at thealexjonesstore.com. But the t-shirts, the reason to go there, keep us on air. And these are badass shirts. They've got over 30 incredible t-shirt designs. I think there's more now. They're adding more every day at thealexjonesstore.com. They're designer. They're high quality. They're all there. Some of the InfoWars classics, they updated, made even better. A lot of new incredible designs. A lot of Alex Jones shirts. A lot of Trump shirts. It's all there. at thealexjonesstore.com. We need your aid. We need your support. Plus, he's a great church. You'll meet like-minded people. It spreads the word. It's exciting to wear these out in public. Most people will agree with you and love you. You'll meet so many friends. Go to thealexjonesstore.com. We need your support. No excuses. Take action. Thealexjonesstore.com. Thank you. Enter to win right now at thealexjonesstore.com.
So they always tell you it's the most important election of your lifetime, but of course, this one actually is. That's demonstrable. And it's also, because it is so important, being censored at every level by the tech companies. So we were thinking about this a couple of months ago, and we thought, why not get on the road live in front of actual people, live audiences, coast to coast, a nationwide tour where we can't be censored? That'd be good. It would also be fun. So we're doing it. We're going to be on stage with some of our friends, some of the most fascinating people we know, the most recognizable people we know, responding to what is happening in America this September in real time. It'll be just like the podcast, but it's going to be live. So we're excited to announce our friend Larry Elder is coming to join us in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Our friend John Rich will be there with us in Sunrise, Florida. We're adding more stops. We just added another stadium show in Reading, Pennsylvania. We'll be joined on stage by Alex Jones. They tell you what Alex Jones is like. Have you seen him in person? You should. Make up your own mind. It's going to be fun as hell and interesting and intense, and we hope you will join us. Go to TuckerCarlson.com right now to get your tickets. See you there.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next. InfoWars.com/show.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special report.
America has been captured. We have an occupied government. Any loyal American who does not want to be a complete slave of a biomedical extermination operation needs to get informed quick, get right with God, and then start telling everybody you know about it and not complying with the system. The system is here to destroy us. Complying with it will get you killed. Period.
We told you what was going to happen, and it did. Now we're telling you what's coming. At Real Alex Jones on X.
Folks, we still have just so much more to get to. Questions abound about this latest assassination attempt. Probably not since Oswald has there been somebody so clearly associated with the intelligence agencies attempting to assassinate Donald Trump. And look, if they can't get him with a sniper, they're not going to stop. And I expect the next assassination attempt to be much more spectacular. We talked about this before the debate, since I thought that was another prime target for them, since taking out Kamala Harris at the same time would be very convenient for the deep state to cancel the election and usher in full-fledged totalitarian rule by the shadowy cabal that already run things but are sick of having to do it so secretively. Ammonium nitrate, a massive truck bomb, taking out an entire city block as he drives by. Something like that, I would not be surprised about. And of course, just like in Butler, Pennsylvania, the questions about how this guy was able to evade Secret Service, how he was able to get into a position where shooting Trump was even a vague possibility, is very troubling. And has everybody asking, how did he know, especially since this golf outing was a unplanned, unscheduled event? And I want to look at this as like I'm Sherlock Holmes. Just take what we know and try to figure out what actually happened, who was involved, who could have possibly been involved. And lucky for us, the circle of people that knew Trump was going golfing that day and where is extremely small. However, people in that circle might surprise you. And yet, in my interpretation of all of this, they're under suspicion until proven otherwise. Let's go to a video here. Clip number 21. Here's Fox News reporting on this fact.
He returned to the White House, but this event was not on any kind of public schedule, so it's not clear how this alleged lone gunman knew the former president would be playing golf today, and also at what time. We heard the president was on the fifth hole, on the front nine at Trump International. How did this lone gunman know? Perhaps he followed the motorcade, of course, when the former president travels. He travels in a motorcade. He has Secret Service protection. But that is one of the things. If this was another potential assassin, how he had this information about where former President Trump was playing golf. Of course, he owns numerous golf courses in the state of Florida, Doral in the Miami area, but of course, Trump International is the closest to Mar-a-Lago and Palm Beach, where he resides. That is one of the big questions we hope to hear in this press conference coming up shortly, Eric.
Yeah, and even if you don't know exactly what his schedule is, if you're a local, you know that the former president plays golf. You can obviously see a police and a Secret Service presence. You can see the motorcade, and when that is happening.
Right.
And we see a motorcade right now going over the bridge from Palm Beach over to West Palm Beach.
It's not a far trip.
The former president spoke to Brett Baer, and Brett is quoting the former president as saying, quote, "Tell everybody I am fine, and the Secret Service did a great job." So in light of the new reporting that the Secret Service did what it's supposed to do, it saw a threat to the president, a potential threat, a man with an AK-47 within the vicinity of the former president on the street, a few hundred yards apparently away from the fifth hole. And the Secret Service agent did what they are trained to do, took out the service revolver, their weapons, and tried to stop this apparent suspect, this man with the gun.
So again, not a public event. So this is a statement from Trump as of this. Well, this would have been yesterday evening. I'd like to thank everybody for your concerns and well wishes. It was certainly an interesting day. Most importantly, I want to thank U.S. Secret Service Sheriff Rick Bradshaw and his Office of Brave and Dedicated Patriots and all the law enforcement for the incredible job done today at Trump International in keeping me, the 45th president of the United States and Republican nominee of the upcoming presidential election, safe. The job was out. The job done was absolutely outstanding. I'm very proud to be an American. Well, the job was okay. I mean, it was all right. I mean, the assassin didn't kill you, so, there's that. So in terms of pass-fail, sure, they get a passing grade, but I would think doing an outstanding job would be the guy with the gun never gets you within sights. That's what I would call outstanding. Outstanding would be the deranged assassin isn't hiding in the bushes waiting for you or waiting for Secret Service at the last second to see him and fire at him and miss and then get away and drive to the next county only to be arrested because of a random citizen who saw the car, saw the whole thing go down, and sent in the plate numbers to the Florida police. Again, I get Trump is doing what a statesman has to do, but outstanding, really? Was this outstanding or was this just pretty good? Just okay, just better than the alternative. Now, I don't even want to necessarily make the claim I'm about to. But like I said, let's treat this like Sherlock Holmes. Let's treat this like an unassociated detective coming in. Now, you can either assume that this guy, Ralph, and how he got here, how he got to Florida, how he travels from Hawaii, what he does for his money. That brings up a lot of questions. Who's paying for this guy's life? Who's paying for his travel? Who's paying for the car that he was driving? Does he even have a job? And as far as I can tell, he spent all of his time recruiting for Ukraine. Who paid for him to travel to Ukraine to fight there? Was this guy funded by the intelligence agencies or the State Department? How did he know where to go? Was he just going every day to a Trump golf course and waiting just in case the guy came there? Was he following the motorcade and just decided to get set up there randomly? Was this a crime of opportunity? I seriously doubt it. It seems much more likely to me that he had some source of inside information, that he knew exactly where to be, where to go, where to lie in wait, how to get there. And so you have to ask the question, who knew about this? And in light of that, and not making any concrete accusations, I'd like to go now to clip number 28.
Fox News alert. Moments after the second assassination attempt on his life yesterday afternoon, former President Donald Trump sharing his main concerns with Sean Hannity of Fox News as he was rushed back to the clubhouse at his golf course.
And Sean Hannity joins us now. Sean, it happened at 1:30 yesterday afternoon, and you got a call before it even broke, before we all knew about it. Tell us that story.
It was a, really actually, guys, it was not long right after the incident happened. The president was playing with a dear friend of mine, Steve Witkoff, and I had gone to breakfast with Steve and another guy, another friend of ours, and we had breakfast together. The whole breakfast, Steve was giving me a hard time. Come play golf with us. Come play golf with us. And Steve is near a scratch golfer. The president pretty much is a scratch golfer. And I'm like, I don't have time to play, so I'm not that good with you. Good at golf right now, but I hope to get back to what I used to play. And anyway, so he goes off and plays. My phone rings maybe before 2, right after the incident happened, when he was immediately back in the clubhouse, and he told me what had happened, and he said that 4 shots had gone off. They heard it. It was pop, 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 pop. That's how he described it.
Yeah, I'm a little bit suspicious. So how many people knew Trump was golfing that day? How many people knew where it was going to be and exactly what time? And look, you know, maybe Sean Hannity's just not that good at golf, right? He doesn't want to embarrass himself in front of Trump. Maybe that's why he passed up the opportunity to play golf with the former and future president of the United States. Maybe. Maybe. Yeah, I'm saying Sean Hannity might have leaked this information. I don't know if that's true. It's pure speculation. All I'm saying is that there's a very small circle of people that knew when and where Trump would be playing golf. And one of them seems very concerned about letting you know the reason he wasn't attending that day, even though he had breakfast with the guy who was golfing with Trump and was the first one to get any information about the shooting before it was ever leaked to the press. Sean Hannity had all of the intimate details to it. The user on Twitter pointed that out to me. And look, we need to figure out how this guy knew where to go. He knew Trump was golfing, and that's a very small circle of people.
Obviously, silver's doing way better than gold in growth, and it's way undervalued. That's a fact. Why then are the central banks mainly hoarding gold?
Well, because there's simply not enough silver, right? It's like if you've got central banks that start allocating into silver when it's $30 an ounce and they want to have it be part of their reserves, it's like, okay, there's not enough silver in the world to do that, right? So they have to do gold because it's $2,400 an ounce, not $30 an ounce. Right, so this is why
they've
central
got so
banks
many quadrillions
gold.
Of fake money. There's not if they, there's too much fiat to even buy the silver, which I would say then means silver still will always be the thing that grows the most.
Oh, so silver historically the numbers prove out that when gold is in a bull market, which it is, we're near all time highs. Silver does better than gold, so silver grows faster, and there's a reason why. Silver and gold both act as barometers to government distrust, right? It's the worse things get, the better financial metals do. They're a flight for safety. But what silver has that gold doesn't is it's a manufacturing metal. It's used in industry. So in aerospace, in defense, in electronics, in solar power, electric vehicles, all of that. The demand for silver is through the roof, Alex, and we're just taking advantage of that. And imagine what silver will do with Trump being president, somebody who actually grows the economy rather than having a stagnant economy. The industrial need for silver is absolutely going to explode.
Now you're right. Silver is the closest thing to a silver bullet. That's why they call it a silver bullet. People should go to kpm.com/gold right now and get silver now. We'll be right back.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next.